Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here trying to go pro in something other than sports.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, like we've said over and over again here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, only to make our parents proud trying to go pro in the world of
Very
love
true.
At
Very
some
true.
Point. In
we
all
love
of
our
this.
Families.
We
That's
do.
Our goal.
Very much.
We I think they're proud of us, honestly.
I mean, hell, what more can we do?
Thank you.
Like, the whole spouse thing, you know, that probably...
Yeah, that's probably it. You just... knew, yeah, that's exactly what's holding us back in our parents' eyes.
Damn, it really is that easy. We're presented
you
by
know,
Progressive
Insurance.
You know,
it's hard out here for a...
All guests join us
Talk
on the show,
movies.
Penn's Oil Performance Line. That's another good movie. And you know what? I'm glad you brought up the movie thing again, because... You and I, like, we're early in our work marriage here, and so we're still finding out a lot of things about each other. And today was, like, one of our first real, like, work, you know, disagreements on something, because I watched Game 7 last night of Jazz Nuggets, and I said it was a great ending, exciting ending there. See, you know, they got a look at it at the buzzer. Donovan Mitchell's on the floor. He's exhausted. He's emotional. And I said it was a great ending that saved a very okay movie, like, any NBA game where the two teams in the National Basketball Association have 70 points in the middle of the fourth quarter, I can't call a blockbuster. I can't do it.
But the real thing here is, if it has a great ending, then it's a good movie. So you'll say it's a good movie. So it is a good movie, even though it sort of had the longer buildup. And one of the things I saw on YouTube was these two amazing young men that listened to Phil Collins' I Can Hear It Calling.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah, so that song, are you going to say it's a bad song based on the beginning?
No.
Because the beat drop happens towards the end? Come on now. It's still a great song. It's the suspense of it all.
So you're saying that whole, the three and a half, you know, three quarters and, you know,
yeah.
five eighths of a quarter.
That's before
were all
the beat dropped, according to Phil Collins.
That was the, was last night's Game 7 more Phil Collins in the air tonight, or was it, as I called it before, kind of like A Few Good Men, where the rest of the movie is okay, but that courtroom scene at the end with Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise, that's your moneymaker that saves the whole thing. At Jhené321, at Mike Golic Jr.
Yeah, that's the question. But, you know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the game because I knew it was going to come down to the end. And that's the thing. When you have a movie, you're going to sit through it, because once you start, you're going to finish to at least see if something is happening and something is made of it. And usually the endings, they work. They work out. And in this case, we got Donovan Mitchell with his hands up thinking that this was going to be the hero's tale. Even though he's not the hero, that shot, if it went in, can you imagine what we say? You probably wouldn't even be keeping that same energy if the shot went in. And that, this is your moment of truth right here. This Uh-oh. Is the test. We're early in the work marriage. And you know, when we have disagreements, you know who's always right.
Yeah, that is true. Happy wife, happy life. So
Thank
in this
you.
Instance, I'm going to have to bow out gracefully, and I'll just let Jamal Murray take over exhausted after the game, realizing he's got to play in less than 2 days.
Look, you guys both look gassed, both sides, and the Clippers we know is going to be a rugged test. Between now and Thursday, what do?
We play Thursday?
Yeah.
You don't get 2 days off?
No. No, it's Thursday.
Man, well, that's a bummer.
Talk about your all-time backfires on that one. But the good news, Jhené, is we don't got to wait till Thursday to get excited again, because we have another Game 7 tonight. This one, Rockets and Thunder. And this one feels different in a lot of ways. That last series was budding superstars, guys that we were watching grow into their own. On this one, for you, it's a little more personal. And for James Harden, it feels like it's got a little more gravity. Is calling this one career-defining for James Harden too extreme?
My gosh, let this be our Phil Collins game. I can feel it calling in the air. Like, in the air, the city of Houston is hoping that the beat will drop. And James Harden will drop points, especially late, because the question has been the narratives. Which narrative will win? We have one narrative where Chris Paul is the ultimate quintessential leader, where he's been able to get the most out of guys that sort of maybe we looked past. And that narrative didn't work when he was with the Rockets, and now he was traded to OKC, traded to the team that previously had James Harden before he blossomed into an MVP, Russell Westbrook before he, you know, crossed over to Houston. Now, to basically, that was the switch off. That was the trade off. It is personal for Chris Paul. So we saw that in real time. And he sort of made this OKC team like one of those Cinderellas. And it's been a beautiful sight for most outside of Texas, or at least Houston, because switching gears now to to the Rockets. The question here is, will James Harden finally live up to an expectation where he can take over and win a game that matters? This is a game seven. This is maybe not where we'd want it to be, you know, in the conference finals or even NBA finals. But like, here is another prime opportunity for him to say, all right, in game six, Russ did his thing and it didn't work. Am I going to build up a lead so that we can win easily? Or in the biggest moments, will I deliver? Will Russ be the guy that was worth us losing Chris for, where we're literally playing against each other in this moment? It's going to be crazy.
Janae Angola Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Janae, I think it is really high risk, low reward for James Harden going into this one tonight, because you just mentioned it. This isn't the Western Conference Finals. He's not playing against the dynasty Golden State Warriors team that we saw him go blow for blow for. He is going to game seven in a series against a Chris Paul-led Thunder team that we didn't even think Chris Paul was going to stick around and play for when this all happened. So it's one of those, we called it a must-win game, just-win game before. Like this, I don't even know if just-win. Like, this is go out and get this done, because you shouldn't even be here at this point in the series if James Harden is all the things that we believe him to be.
Yeah, you're exactly right. High risk, low reward. Well, shoot, I'll take any kind of reward if I'm a Houston Rockets fan. For real. It's been tough because you want this team to succeed. And they took the risk early on. They took the risk by going, in the words of Max Kellerman, not from small ball to micro ball. And it has worked a lot, you know, before the bubble. And now in the bubble, people are still trying to figure out, okay, will Eric Gordon be able to knock down shots? Jeff Green has been there as a boost. Robert Covington, like, having him is good so that when you don't have rim protection, he's a good defender. Russell Westbrook, like, he, for the most part of the season, was right there. Like, if we're going to talk about big three for MVP, he could be on the outskirts of five, you know, with what he was producing. And now his flow was disrupted. So things make it more difficult, even though the talent should make it so much easier for the Rockets.
It should make it a lot easier. And I think those waning moments, like, we're going to do this later in the show because I think it's hilarious. We obviously always default to a couple of these main storylines when it comes to the NBA, when it comes to sports in general. And so we're going to rank the ridiculous postseason storylines, some of which we're hitting on here. But with James Harden, I think basketball is such a unique animal, Chinee, because we know it's so overly weighted towards the postseason in this. And so much of that is because, as a superstar, as one player, you can have so much more effect on a game than almost any one football player or any one member of a lot of the other sports that we see. So part of me thinks it's understandable and it's fair, but that even goes more micro, if we want to talk about micro ball, to that end of game. And we read the stats the other day. It's like 5 for 41, Westbrook and Harden in crunch time in that final minute with a chance to tie or go ahead. Like, that's an insane stat for two guys that are as gifted as they are. And you worry at this point in their career, this isn't Jamal Murray and Spider Mitchell. Like, this isn't guys that are starting to establish who they are on the stage. Like, I'm worried that that might just be who these guys are at this point.
Well, a lot will be determined today. A lot will be determined. Daryl Morey has been with the Rockets since 06, 07. And I think we've seen a lot of iterations of this Houston Rockets team. Dwight Howard. I'm looking at the Clippers like, look at Montrezl Harrell. Look at Pat Bev. We had those guys. We have Chris Paul, who is like a super competitor. Why didn't it work? And now we're in this version of the Rockets where I really believe in them. I really believe in Russ. I really believe in James. But it works with rhythm. And a lot of things were taken out of rhythm due to the pandemic. Teams had to find themselves again. And then on top of it, Russell Westbrook dealing with the injury and inserting himself and finding his rhythm in the middle of a playoff series. It's not so easy as it was pre-bubble. And so we'll see. You know, Coach D'Antoni as well, looking for a contract. And I think the pressure is on in the sense that if they win, maybe he stays. If they don't, maybe he goes. And there have been teams, I believe it was the Indiana Pacers, that were really saying, oh, we'd be interested in him as well. So there are a lot of things that Houston is juggling, but they can control their own destiny. And that is what I am waiting. Channel Paul Wall. Where's Paul Wall at? He made me feel so good last week about the Rockets and keeping hope.
All that good Houston energy. We got to bring some of that back for you. I want this for you right now. I want you to be able to feel good about your hometown Rockets, because we got to worry about other things in other places. Coming up next, we got shots fired from another show on the network at our very own Chinee Igwumike, and the two numbers that you need to hear going into the rest of the day. That's next. It's Chinee Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chinee Angola Jr., the podcast.
I can feel it calling in the air tonight.
Hold on, hold on.
Thank you.
The old, I love referring, by the way, now to the drum part of this song as the beat drop. Like, trying to go back in time and explain a beat drop to Phil Collins when this was going on would have been a conversation worth having. It's Chinay Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Mike Gola Jr., Chinay Gwumuke, and Chinay, we got to get to. We're going to do one and done here in a second. You and I got a couple of important numbers in sports that we want to get to here, but you got called out in a very big way here. We have got ESPN on ESPN Crime, which no one around here is a fan of. But our very own Sarah Spain, who you can hear on Spain and Fitz coming up right after our show, starting at 7 o'clock Eastern, commented after you sang in that last segment and said, this segment's made it clear that there's at least one thing Chinay isn't great at. Chinay, how do you plead?
Look, somebody has to be accountable here because she's not a fair judge. The last thing I'll say on this is I got a whole dang full, stable full of people, period, period, that know I can sing, period.
So,
that's on period.
So are you. And that's all fine and good, and I'm here to gas you up, and obviously, like, all day, we'll ride out Spain and Fitz. Come get this work anytime you want, all day, 24-7, 365. At the same time, are you going to, like, sing as a rebuttal, or are you going to, like, throw that back in her face?
I mean, I tried to hold a note as we came back in because I saw the shade on the tweet, but it's okay. Like, look, maybe singing is not my forte, no pun intended, but hey, should we dance it out? Like, I feel like dancing is a fair way to dance it out. We should dance it out.
Oh, you want to dance battle this with Sarah Spain here. All right.
You know what?
We're going to make this work. We're going to set this up. I want to put you, Chinay, coming up in the ideal spot to go and serve this back here. Like, it's just like a you just got served kind
of
moment
Maybe one of these Fridays. You know, Fridays are special. Ooh. Maybe this Friday, next Friday, we'll have her on, you know, final and see what she's got, you know, because we always dance it out on Fridays.
So. All right, there we go. Friday, it's going down. Sarah Spain, I hope you are ready on this one. And I hope you're ready now for what we got to do here in the world of sports. We know we do it every day. It is one and done around here. Cliff, hit it.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
All right, so one and done. We get one big sports topic, get it off our chest a little bit. And you and I wanted to focus on the numbers today because we've gotten some big news out of the world of college football really in the last few days. Today the news came out that Georgia quarterback Jamie Newman, who had transferred from Wake Forest, was going to be foregoing this season. He joins many in a long line of players that have decided to opt out of this upcoming football season. We said Jamar Chase, wide receiver from LSU the other day, but a name that went a little under-talked about was the one that struck a tone with me. Tyler Shelvin, who was a defensive tackle for LSU, part of their great national championship team last year, and a high-profile draft prospect, decided he was going to opt out the other day as well. And obviously, I support any of these guys making a decision that's best for their future. I want them all to feel comfortable about what they're doing with their lives and the money that they stand to make at the next level. But a dream of mine went by the wayside when that happened. See, I have this idea. This year in 2020 in college football, for the first time, you are allowed to wear the single-digit zero as a jersey number here. College football, in a rare moment of understanding and doing the right thing, saw that single-digit numbers were really popular. And I thought, above all else, it was popular with one specific group. The digit zero should only be worn, in my mind, if I was made the czar of college football tomorrow, by defensive linemen over 310 pounds. It is a big boy number, it is big boy talk, and it is the perfect vessel to showcase the beautiful body of Tyler Shelvin. And unfortunately now, because he has chosen to go on to greener pastures and look at the NFL, we will never get to realize that dream. I can only hope that another large king in the world of college football picks up that mantle, Chinay, because it means a lot to me. I love big guys wearing zero. I love big guys wearing zero.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to have that growing up. It's like, oh, you're big, go automatically, Chinay, to number 30 or number 42, right?
Yeah.
Okay. My turn. Well, speaking of numbers, when I was growing up, I wanted my own number, one that I could call truly my own. So I picked number 13, a number that would stand out and defy all the odds. I wanted to make number 13 lucky for me. And for the most part, it has been. I'm not alone in this quest for self-determination. Wilt Chamberlain, Steve Nash, Alex Rodriguez all saw potential in this number and played the game through a different lens. But here is one of my favorites on the list, James Harden. You know how I feel about my city? You know how I feel. You know how I feel about my team. You know the phrase, everything is bigger and better in Texas. And this applies to all parts of Texas culture. Food, barbecue is life, man. I mean, it's like Heart Attack on the plate, but it's still good. Music, shout out to Meg Thee Stallion. It also applies to sports, from the yearly expectation of the Cowboys to on the court, the play of James Harden. Everything about James Harden's game offensively is bigger and better. James is bigger than most guards. He is better than most guards. But, you know, when it comes to the playoffs, we are always still caught on our heels a little bit. We are caught off guard. And here we are at game seven. How did we get here? Well, our star didn't have the ball down the stretch, and that did not help. So here we are at game seven. And on what planet does this happen where the star doesn't have the ball? Speaking of which, I mean, I feel like I should page NASA. That's in our hometown. To give us the answer. Houston, do we really have a problem? I don't know yet. I've been waiting on the answer since I wanted that T-Mac jersey when I was a tween for Christmas. A lot of people define luck as where preparation meets opportunity. Well, Houston is prepared, and they have prime opportunity. Maybe this is where number 13 finally finds his luck.
Always snaps anytime you can throw in a preparation meets opportunity drop. One of my all-time favorite quotes. On that, so, Shanae, in all seriousness, you nervous going into tonight? Like, how much are you sweating this? You're a pro athlete. You've been through all this yourself. You've played in big time games, and yet you're still feeling the fan heat right now.
So the way I feel in this moment is just more so, I have learned to set my expectations low. So like to walk in knowing it's gonna be tough. It's not gonna be easy. And if something happens, this is just what we're used to. And so when something else happens where James Harden, where I think he's going to use this game as a moment, like we're seeing players being made in a moment. This is an opportunity. Like, I think the potential is there for the Rockets to compete. But at the same time, I'm going to try to keep it chill. Because Chris Paul, he wants all of their numbers. Talk about numbers. He wants all of the numbers. He wants all the smoke.
That is Chris Paul, not afraid of this moment. We know that. Whether or not the rest of his team will be talented enough to capture on it remains to be seen, but there is no doubt this can be one to sweat out tonight. So we will keep checking in on Shanae's blood pressure as we look towards game seven tonight between the Rockets and the Thunder. But coming up next, we got to head down to the Bayou and figure out if one of the best teams in football can make a marriage work with one of their stars. We will ask our next guest after this word from DraftKings. See, we mentioned the football season less than 10 days away now, and the reigning champs who just got their rings yesterday are set to take the field and kick off the season. There's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To celebrate week one of the football season, DraftKings is putting you in the center of the action. You get two shots at a $1 million top prize. All you got to do, draft your team, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for yards, touchdowns, and more. I do it every weekend during the football season. It is an absolute blast. With all this cash up for grabs, there's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code CJR to get your free shot at $1 million top prize. And for a limited time, you're going to get a share of $100 million in prizes once you enter the DraftKings free survivor pool. That's promo code CJR to get in on all the action. For a limited time, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Other terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. A man I would have proudly watched sport the number zero next on Shanae and Golic Jr.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Big questions down in the Bayou and, oddly enough, in Minnesota. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. And we love hearing from our next guest. He's one of our best and brightest around here. You can catch him as a part of the new NFL Live crew every weekday at 4 Eastern. The 2 Live crew, it's Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst here. And Marcus, before we get to any of the football, I got to ask, because yesterday you threw it out there. You can hoop like that? I saw the Georgetown offer on the timeline, and I had to come and ask, like, Marcus, what was your game like?
I've been trying to tell y'all I hooped around there, man. I'm trying to get some respect put on my name in basketball.
I got you.
But first, let me go back, though. Let me go back, because I got to tell y'all, I just had a moment, okay? When y'all play New Orleans bounce music on my introduction, it is very hard for me to get through an interview. Okay, I just want to let y'all know that, because I wanted to start getting down just now, man. Play that every time I come on. I like that.
There we go.
Like
that's
spot.
The intro, because I always said the heartbeat gets up a little bit. You're sweating right now. Don't lie to me, Marcus. You're sweating right now.
I love it. Baby. That's Louisiana all the way. All right. I'm sorry, y'all. What's up? I know we got to do our jobs.
You know, no, listen. This is our job. Coming here and hanging out with Marcus Spears is our job, and making sure people know that he is nice like that on the basketball court back in the day. So, Marcus,
yes, sir.
We know you had that. We know you've got this, too, because one of the big stories that we've seen around the NFL today has certainly been the response to Kirk Cousins, who went on a podcast with Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network and was talking about some of his beliefs about COVID-19. He's clarified them since coming out and talking about the responsibility of wearing a mask and social distancing. But when you saw those comments at first, Marcus, what was your reaction?
To be honest with you, MG Jr., I didn't have a visceral reaction. I thought it was irresponsible, the tone of it. But to me, man, I read further along, and Kirk was talking about he's wearing a mask out of respect, and he's talking about himself as an individual, how he approaching it. Now, whether me and Kirk got into a conversation about how he should, our opinions would be very different on that. But, you know, as long as he's taking other people into account, like he said, and taking the right measures and protocols, I'm fine with that. Listen, guys, y'all know me. I don't give a damn if Kirk Cousins wear a mask or not, personally, how he feel about it. But I damn sure care about if he wearing one in the moments he need to have one on. And that's respect and also protecting the guys around you. But his feelings about it, his opinion about it, doesn't matter to me as much as him taking the precautions that need to be taken in order for everybody to be safe. So as long as he's doing that, you can say what you want to say, dog.
Bouncing over to another subject, considering that we did introduce you with New Orleans music, let's go to the Saints. It's been every day we've been reporting on the situation with Alvin Kamara, and Sean Payton said we're focused on him being a part of our plan for week one. Where do you think that situation stands right now in this moment?
It may be at an impasse, and because Alvin Kamara is probably looking for that upper echelon of running back money, and I'm not sure if New Orleans is the place to give it to him. I know they want to get a deal done. I just don't think – here's what you got to understand. I've been trying to get this point across because we have so many conversations about the devaluing of running backs, and the position is not a value. The position is as valuable as that particular franchise chooses for it to be. He plays a very important role in their opportunity to try to win a Super Bowl before Drew Brees leaves. And then you enter into a new era, whether that's Jameis or a new quarterback. So at this point, Alvin Kamara is vitally important. So they pay him that way. And his team and representation may understand that as well, is that we are in a position of leverage right now that we may not have when this team is, quote-unquote, possibly in a rebuild after the Drew Brees era. What he does on the field is highly valuable, though. And other teams would see a lot of value in that if they didn't get a deal done and he potentially hit free agency. But him holding out him having a gripe about it and trying to get a deal done and use every possible leverage he can, I think it's the right thing. Because, look, we know now. Like, we've been in this game long enough. Some of these people ain't going to pay you till you make them pay. That's just what it boiled down to. So I think he's playing the cards that he think is the best move. And Sean Payton did say, we are working on the contract. If there's any new details, we'll let y'all know. So, obviously, that means they are a part on the number.
ESPN football analyst Marcus Spears with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with the Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. And speaking of getting to the money, Marcus, we've seen a lot of college athletes making business decisions. Jamie Newman, the latest to opt out of the University of Georgia there, the transfer quarterback from Wake Forest. He joins Ja'Marr Chase and a number of other high-profile names. Marcus, are you surprised that we're seeing this many, especially someone like Jamie Newman, who a lot of people thought might benefit from another year on the field, especially in an offense that's poised to maybe break through like Georgia's this year?
To be honest with you, MC Jr., I am a bit surprised about Jamie Newman. Would love to know the information that he got in order to help him make this decision. Ja'Marr Chase was a no-brainer. I mean, there's some guys, you see guys opt out. Bosa could have came back. He opted out. not to play because you just don't need to. And this further proves the point that majority of these guys come to college to go to the league. All right, a lot of things we need to stop kidding ourselves on. So when you see these opt-outs, the next immediate thing is, okay, where are they projected? Where do we see them? Why would they make this decision? And to that point, I did not know that Jamie Newman, I knew he was pretty good. I knew the expectations were big for him at Georgia, but I didn't think he was in a conversation to be a top five, top 10 pick. I think that's who opts out, unless otherwise you're concerned about health and all of that other stuff, which possibly factors in for some of these guys. But it's not shocking. It's a different year, man. 2020 then gave us everything else. You see these players starting to make business decisions because the business part of college football has come to a forefront. And now we're seeing reactions to that business side of college football. And this is the thing, too. Like, everybody think the game going to die because guys are making these decisions. It's not. College football is still going to be exciting, still going to be good players. It's still going to be players that need years to emerge. Hell, Joe Burrow wasn't even on the draft radar and then ended up being the first pick. It'll be guys like that. But some of these guys are starting to understand, if I'm a sophomore going into my junior year and I've shown that I'm already one of the best in college and my draft stock is high and possibly won't get any higher by me playing, you may see guys opting out when things do go back to normal.
The business of all this is no doubt changing, Marcus. One thing that has not changed is we know you still got plenty of business for anybody who wants it on the basketball court. We're telling everybody
now,
so we got you, man.
What's your move? Drop step?
You already know. Sinead, whenever you want to do it, you can get these buckets.
I can give it to Dan Orlovsky first, and then I'll give it to you, Marcus. It's easy. It's locked
in. You know my wife played in the WNBA.
I do. She must have taught you. Yep.
So we played one-on-one one time, and she thought I was going to be backing her down and all of that. I know y'all got to go to break. I shot her lights out from Atlanta. So
don't worry, I got her back. I was going to stand for you in the streets, but I'm going to stand for your wife.
All right, y'all.
Marcus, we appreciate it, man. You can check out
Marcus
Spears, Dan Orlovsky, and everyone else who wants to apparently challenge today to a hoops game on that NFL Live crew. We'll see.
We're gonna play 2-on-2. So you and Dan versus myself and Marcus. That's what we're gonna do.
All right, there we go. I was gonna say, I feel like Mina Kimes has to come out here and challenge you to a game of 1-on-1 now, though. It's only right. So Mina, we'll be expecting that coming up very soon. But speaking of getting on the court, one of the things we like to do around here is help people translate. We spend a lot of time in locker rooms on this show, and so we feel like we got a good handle on it. So whether you want to call them a coach or a manager, we're going to help you decode what somebody said next. It's Shanae and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Shanae and Gold Jr., the podcast.
I feel like all of us, and this is something I didn't expect to be able to say today, can relate to the Colorado Rockies. You know why, Chiné?
Is it about some goonery?
It's going to be about some goonery in a second here. It's Chiné Angolo Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance and guest joining
us the tweet.
On Michelle Penzo Performance Line. It's the tweet. So
the
Colorado Rockies are like all of us trying to summon some goodwill into this year. And yesterday was September 1st. So the Colorado Rockies tweeted, hopefully, like a lot of us, and said, this month is going to be a good month. That was at 11:08 a.m. Fast forward, it was 11:29 p.m. Same day. The Colorado Rockies, same Twitter account. We typically have positive and encouraging words when tweeting the final score after losses or some kind of clever approach. Not tonight. We lost 23-5. It sucked. Good night. That is 2020 in a damn nutshell.
That really is. But you know what? You kept it real. You kept it honest. And you walked out with a win, at least on Twitter, in my book.
That is true. Being honest and being themselves, keeping the right energy, they get to walk out of this one winners. I don't know if we can say the same about anyone that was involved in this Yankees and Rays dust up here. So we had suspensions handed down. Last night, the Yankees-Rays game, Aroldis Chapman threw a 101-mile-an-hour fastball at pitcher Mike Brousseau's head. Things got a little heated. It looked like the benches were going to clear in all of this one, and warnings were issued to both sides, and ultimately now suspensions have been handed down. So Aroldis Chapman has been suspended 3 games and fined an undisclosed amount, while Yankees manager Aaron Boone and Rays manager Kevin Cash each received 1-game suspensions. And, Chiné, it was not even just the action that we saw in the game. Here was Kevin Cash, the Rays manager, after the game, maybe having a when keeping a reels goes wrong kind of moment.
It makes no sense. It's poor judgment. Poor coaching. It's just poor teaching what they're doing and what they're allowing to do. The chirping from the dugout. I mean, somebody would have to tell me, go pull the numbers, who's hit who more. But I can assure you, other than the 3 years ago, there hasn't been one pitch thrown with intent from any of our guys, period. Somebody's got to be accountable. And the last thing I'll say on it is I got a whole damn stable full of guys that throw 98 miles an hour, period.
Kept it too real. Like, right there at the end, he just couldn't get out of there without just tossing a random threat in there. Like, oh, by the way, I got goons, too.
Yo, first of all, we should have noted when he said period twice. Yep. Like, usually you just drop the period once. He said period twice. And then secondly, the whole, and this is another catch me outside, how about that moment? Like, I've got people with me, too. How about that? He let the emotions get to the best of him.
Yep.
So he just took it to the next level. And I don't know if we should bring up the conversation we had in the pre-show meeting.
Well, listen, I think it's appropriate because, like, in this situation, and this is, like, Sports Talk Radio 101, is every time something comes up with beanball like this where baseball players start throwing at each other, I remind everyone that I don't think it's actual toughness to throw a fastball at somebody's head.
No.
It's dangerous. Something really bad could happen in a lot of these situations. And ultimately, like, if you want to actually square up, then go ahead and square up. They could maybe fall back on social distance fighting over the course of this year, but it did bring up the idea there at the end, like, there are certain situations, and certainly you see it in basketball, Lord knows you see it in football, where at times you feel like you got to send someone out there to handle business on that. Like, that stuff becomes part of it. Usually not in a way, and there's usually always a code, Chiné, correct me if I'm wrong, of understanding the intent to injure is never something you want to go out there with.
Yeah, there are people that are goons, like people that come off your bench and go out there and, you know, you've got people, they usually say, I've got 5 fouls to give, I got 6 fouls to give, right? Like, there's people that know they're expendable to some degree to your team's success. Like, I can go out there and give you a good 10 minutes or whatever the case is. It just is really interesting because when you have this situation and in baseball, like, they're with the smoke. That's one thing I put some respect on baseball. Like, they are with the smoke. In basketball, it's always like hold me back moments, like teammates holding people back.
I'm not going to give baseball that much credit because then you rarely see dudes out there that actually swing in that. Like, baseball and basketball kind of got that in common.
No, they don't swing, but they do confront. And basketball has been more ever since our Malice in the Palace, we've sort of like been dodgy. In baseball, they have no problem with, you know, head to head, yelling in people's faces. Like, that doesn't really happen in basketball. So, yeah, it is interesting because every sport has their own version of goons. And this one came not from the game, but also from the post game, which is like flexing on them. So
I just want to hear it one more time. Like, again, this is always what happens. And I always am amazed when players, coaches alike are able to. And I know we're supposed to call them managers. That's another thing in here. Baseball needs to get over themselves. They're coaches. You're wearing the same costume as the player. I don't know how we've gotten away with this.
Why can't we just keep
to
tradition, though? Tradition.
God.
That's another good movie. That's a good movie.
That is. Oh, by the way, we're going to get to those tweets coming up, too, in honor of last night's Game 7. Well, maybe not Fiddler on the Roof, but okay movies that were saved by great endings. But here was Kevin Cash, because, again, being able to compose yourself after a heated game, after an emotional performance, is a work of art that I'm always amazed that players and coaches are able to pull off. Kevin Cash was not able to pull that off.
It makes no sense. It's poor judgment. Poor coaching. It's just poor teaching what they're doing and what they're allowing to do. The chirping from the dugout. I mean, somebody would have to tell me, go pull the numbers, who's hit who more. But I can assure you, other than the 3 years ago, there hasn't been one pitch thrown with intent from any of our guys, period. Somebody's got to be accountable. And the last thing I'll say on it is I got a whole damn stable full of guys that throw 98 miles an hour, period.
Chiné, to your point, first off, that was period spelled with a T. And second off, when I was in high school, me and another guy that played football for us, our high school basketball coach used to walk by all the time and say, I got 5 good fouls for the both of you anytime you're ready to go. Like, he knew, like, we were probably not going to be overly skilled players, but damn, we could go in there and make sure you felt unwelcome in the paint.
Yeah, and I think this there's a delicate balance, because in sports sometimes when things in baseball, I guess it's more prevalent because if you're ever pitching to a spot on the body, it is considered a real threat. And that's why in basketball, when we saw with the Mavs and obviously the Clippers, this conversation was being had in real time. Like, is Patrick Beverley sometimes a little too much? He hasn't been on the floor like that. But the question was now his goon, his friend, Marcus Morris Sr. So, and you know, the fines came out too?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was $15,000 for Luka Doncic, $35,000 maybe for Marcus Morris Sr. So yeah, these are all things we don't incentivize.
Well, we don't. But at the same time, like, Marcus Morris's existence on that team is proof that is incentivized to, like, he was brought there to be an instigator. Him and Pat Beverley are there to get under your skin. And what do we say every time another player loses his cool like that because of one of those guys? They just earn their paycheck, like going out there doing exactly what they're paid to do.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, oh, they're just petty.
No, oh, God, no. It's like, there are certain, that is an art form, being able to get under someone's skin. Like, the people that can trash talk effectively, that's an art form.
And to do so and do it well. But the thing is, you have to let your game do most of the playing, not just the talking. So.
Oh, absolutely, which is where.
But that was in post-game Hall of Fame. I mean, we don't incite violence at all forms here or you know, give life to that type of degree. But the period. It's the periods that did it for me.
It is the period. We enjoy and endorse that energy. We want to keep that same energy as we look towards Game 7 tonight. Very personal for our own Chinua Igwumike. We'll tell you why next on ESPN Radio.